right, welcome back to 32 Fans. Is that how Chester does it? I'm never the host. Even if like I hosted a show that was called the Akiva Wienerker Podcast, I would still like I'd get someone else to be the host, and I'd just be the guest. So I don't want to deal with the intro stuff, or you know, any of like the throwing it back from break, like assuming there were breaks, or like an ad. You know, I don't know. What kind of advertiser would we have if we had on this podcast? Like, I was reading that, a good podcast gets like, for every 1,000 listeners, if it's a 30-second ad, you get like, it's like $17 for every 1,000 listeners or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up. We would get like, I'm not sure what we would get. So Chester's banned. Everyone knows that. He's not banned forever. He's just suspended for, I guess, the first quarter of the podcast. It's like a Todd Bowles punishment. He didn't do what he was supposed to last week, which is edit the podcast properly. And he thought it was really funny to make the podcast bad, like to start off as if anyone's going to read his dumb iTunes description. It's like, 2-24, we're talking about football, and it's completely unintelligible because I'm looking on my phone and arguing about like partial birth abortion in my WhatsApp group with my fantasy football friends, as if anybody, and then he gets mad when I don't pay attention. And then the rest of it I thought was fine, was regular. You know, if you think this is a decent podcast, like it was just a regular episode, but the first 20 minutes were unlistenable, and so this is his punishment. He's like the Sheldon Richardson. Except Sheldon Richardson tries a little harder of this podcast. Maybe people will like this experiment. And do you think I could like podcast cuck Chester into recording this but not actually being on the air? Maybe people like this better. I'm not sure. I've never done this before. This is like, I don't know how like Mike Francesa does this 5.5 hours a day. I'm dying out here. But anyway, so we're going to do a few things today. We're back after top 10 TV shows 2 weeks ago and top 10 podcasts of the year last week. We're starting 2017 with a pretty typical round one of the NFL playoffs preview. That's what we do here. We're an NFL playoffs. We're an NFL podcast 6 months a year, and the other six we do complete nonsense. So I think we should start with Black Monday, which was really ruined. I would say January 1st. You could argue Jesus, because of like the whole Christmas, New Year's thing, really ruined Black Monday this year. Because usually it's glorious. All the coaches get fired like Sunday night. It used to be Monday morning, but now we have the coaches firing creep where they get fired Sunday night. And now it's like creeped up to Saturday night. They get fired before the games, and Rex got fired the week before because he asked the owner what his status was. And I guess once the owner told him he wasn't being rehired, there was no way to keep him. So we got six job openings. And, the Jaguars, that's been open for a while. We got the Bills. We got the Rams. We got the 49ers, the Broncos, and the Chargers. I think the Saints are playing hard to get with Peyton. They owe him a lot of money, so I don't think they'll fire him because they don't have as rich of an ownership as all the other teams. You know, them and maybe the Packers. There's a couple teams that really don't have a lot of money. Buffalo. To me, I think they're trying to goad the Rams or anybody. I mean, the Chargers, somebody into the Chargers with Sean Payton would be interesting, into trading for Payton. You don't have to give up much for him. You just have to agree to pay his contract. I'm sure they would take a late round draft pick. So that would be interesting. And then, so I think he'll go. I think Pagano's going to get fired. I'm not sure why he hasn't been fired yet, but it would surprise me if he makes it through today. The Jets already announced they're keeping Bowles. Bill O'Brien, the thing about Bill O'Brien is that he's favored. They're 3.5-point favorites to beat the Raiders. So if he wins a playoff game, there's no way he's getting fired. It would be a weird firing. He'd be one of those guys. I do think he'd get another job. Although the problem is if all the jobs get filled this weekend, there may not be enough jobs left for Bill O'Brien to get a gig. I think that's it for the coaches being fired. I really didn't like Doug Peterson, but that was year one. I'm not super impressed with what's going on with the Eagles. I don't see any reason to believe that John Fox is going to turn the Bears around in year three, but I guess they have a really good draft pick. Maybe they get a quarterback and something could happen there. I don't know. I think that Vance Joseph, the Dolphins defensive coordinator, who, if most people don't know, is the worst player in Jets history. No hyperbole. If you had asked me 6 months ago, who's the worst player in Jets history? It's definitely Vance Joseph. He was a college, I think, running back or wide receiver at Colorado back in the days of Rashawn Salaam, RIP, who was converted 1 week. The Jets are like, let's make him a cornerback. sort of like the Patriots did with Troy Brown, except he was also a receiver and he was just like the nickelback. So they played the Raiders in 1995, the Jets did. And in his first game, Vance Joseph literally didn't know how to run backwards, which is like a pretty key trait for a cornerback. And so Tim Brown went for like 10 for 180 and three touchdowns on him, like in his sleep. And James Jett had two touchdowns. Like the Raiders were up 49-7 or 49-10 in the third quarter. I mean, it was, you know, the whole crowd was chanting, "Let's go Raiders." It was a Jets home game, Sunday Night Football. It was awful. So I think he's going to get a job. I think Harold Goodwin, the Cardinals offensive coordinator, is going to get a job. I think Anthony Lynn for the Bills, it was a big, obviously, I think he gets that job for sure if the Bills beat the Jets. The problem is, it was one of the worst losses of the year for any team, the Bills losing to the Jets, you know, 30-10. It was 30-3 for until a late touchdown. I just think the Gillislee not picking up the kickoff could cost Anthony Lynn that job. He's also a minority candidate. He's going to get a lot of interviews anyway. I think maybe he gets that Bills gig. There aren't a lot of exciting people out there. Like, no, you know, nobody's going back for Chip Kelly. You know, Gruden's not coming. There's really not a lot of interesting people. Mike Shanahan's always trying to get himself a job, but I mean, he would be fine if someone hires Kyle Shanahan. And I think someone probably will. Although it is hard sometimes for the guys who are still in the playoffs, the coordinators, to get a gig because maybe you won't wait for them in case they don't leave. But a Kyle Mike package is good. I really like all the guys who are saying that they're packaging themselves with Gus Bradley. Like, that's a punishment for me. That's like a threat. Like, you better be freaking Bill Belichick if you're packaging yourself with Gus Bradley as your defensive coordinator. How am I doing, guys? Let me know. Tweet at me. Tell me how I did. I think we could end Chester's punishment now. Chester, you around? Can you hear me? I'm not even sure if I'm recording, by the way. Like, this is all Chester's domain. I have no idea if I've been talking this whole time. I didn't check Zencast or anything. Chester, you listening? Well, he's not even listening when... Ooh! I was going to say, you're not even listening when we're on. I don't know why you'd be listening when it's just me. But did you hear what everything I had to say?
I don't respect your authority here, so I protest that suspension.
Well, but was I good? Was that fine? Or like, do we have to cut that? I think that was fine.
No, you were terrible. You have to be carried by me.
Jeez. What do you think would happen if I quit the Seinfeld podcast and you took over? Do you think it would get more popular, or less popular, or basically the same?
I can't imagine I'm very popular in Rap World because I'm known as somebody who doesn't like Survivor. So,
well, I don't think you're known. I think that's your first mistake. That's yes. Assuming that you're known.
Anybody knows who I am. Or once they discovered that, they'd be.
By the way, do you know how crazy I am? I went through. We got a tweet from somebody asking about something about last week's podcast. And I just happened to, like, I don't know that name, or I knew that name. I happened to notice he didn't follow me, which is fine. You don't have to follow me. But it came through you. So it occurred to me that this person followed you and not me, like an RHAP fan who listens to this podcast. To me, that's an insane person move, to follow only Chester and not Akiva. That's
a much better tweeter than you.
That's I do rarely tweet. I am very bad on Twitter. But I feel like, throw me some love. I mean, 123 podcasts last year. I tweeted 112. It's 123.
Did the guy follow you?
Well, I told him I wouldn't answer his question till he followed me and unfollowed you.
Yeah.
And he followed me. Loyal. He did follow me. I don't believe he unfollowed you. Yeah. But so I went through.
Chester. I don't think so. Steve Chester.
You're a dictator.
You don't care. Well, that's why I quit the Pool of Pools.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about it. The Pool of Pools is going great without you.
All right,
will you if I get caught for some sort of like international gambling fraud or something, will you still be my attorney for the Pool of Pools even though you're not in it?
No. Who do you think the whistle blow?
That's right. You're gonna come back to me Saturday like I want two free entries or else I'm blowing the whistle. I could see you as like the big snitch. That definitely you're the first suspect if someone tells. I think that I went through your entire Twitter list to see if there's other people who follow you and not me.
Oh my God, you are upset.
Yeah, I went through all of your. I mean, you don't have a lot of followers, so it wasn't so hard. And there's people like, okay, that's clearly your friend or like acquaintance, probably knowing you. But like, there were a few people who was like, you know, you could tell by the mentions, like if they say, you know, Big Brother Survivor, and they follow you and not me, you know, I'm going to assume that there's something wrong with them, obviously. Or like they accidentally like clicked a button and you know unfollowed me. I don't know. Or maybe I blocked them and then they can't follow me.
Have you ever blocked anyone on Twitter?
No, I mute people. I mute people if I hate their political opinions.
Have you ever gotten an anti-Semitic attack on Twitter?
No, I should really put the triple parentheses around my name.
Well, you've never mentioned Trump, I think, on Twitter, probably. So
I've mentioned him a bunch of times, but I'm also like, maybe people don't realize that Kiva Wienerker is Jewish. I'm not sure. but
yeah, because
I don't tweet about politics a lot. I was going to
block those people, but I realized you're right. Muting is better than blocking, because when you mute the person, they don't even realize. So they're just tweeting into the wind.
But I wouldn't mute like outright racist, because who cares? They're so stupid. Like, nobody would actually care about what they have to say.
But it's upsetting to beginning.
Sure.
And, you know,
but I will. I'll tweet like I've muted like 10 people. I'd say all like dirtbag left, which is like the alt-right, but the dirtbag left. They call themselves that. I'm not calling themselves dirtbags. But like if I see something, it's like, okay, this person's like, their hatred, you know, of like Israel is creeping a little too far for me, then I'll mute them instead of block. Or no, a couple of them I block. But, you know, it's like if I think you're veering, away from, towards like anti-Semitism, you're getting muted.
Yeah, I think I got like one on the left and like two or three Trumps on the right that I've muted. But yeah, not that many.
Uh-huh. And I've never, to my knowledge, I've never been blocked. Although I don't know how, there's no stat to find out if you've been blocked, but
yeah, you can't find out. Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever been blocked. And if I am, it's like, it might take me a while to what?
Well, like Bill Barnwell, I realized after like a few weeks of not seeing him on my timeline, I realized I've been blocked by him and I couldn't understand why. Yeah. And the only thing I could think of was I had tweeted at him. This is the benign thing I tweeted at him that got me blocked. I said, this is right when the Vikings hired Zimmer. I said, do you know of any research indicating whether head coaches that come from defensive backgrounds are more or less aggressive than head coaches that come from offensive backgrounds? You know,
yeah. By the way, that's way more than 140 characters. That's probably why he blocked you.
The hypothesis being...
No, I remember because you asked me to ask him to unblock you. I think you asked a bunch of people to ask.
Why he blocked me. So I sent him an email. The only thing I can assume is, my mention was in the middle of a bunch of, troll mentions. And he just went...
Sure, but he's a big blocker. Did he respond to you by email?
He didn't respond, but he unblocked me.
Okay, that's fine. Fine. Like, he gets a lot of hate. I think there's a lot of irrational football fans that... like Aaron Schatz, he's like all day long is complaining about people.
Well, everybody
who
always
say
assumes
his team.
That public people on sports hate their team.
Right. I've never assumed that, but probably because I'm a New York fan, I just assume that they
hate your own teams also.
Sure, that's true. Jets and Mets fans. No one can hate our teams more than we do.
Yeah.
I think, but he, like, if you search him in block, he's one of the biggest blockers in the game. He's like the Matumbo of Twitter.
But I would never.
Yeah, but Barry has millions of Twitters and millions of Twitter followers. That's different than Barnwell. Probably has like 100,000.
All right. So what did you discuss before I came on here? You talked about Black Monday or the Black Monday creep that already happened on Sunday in the previous couple of weeks.
Correct. Black Monday. Do you have any other thoughts? Who else is going to get fired? Who's going to get hired?
You're the one who's obsessed with that. The who's going to get hired is more interesting to me. But, obviously there's openings that we didn't expect, like the Broncos opening.
Right.
I assume that's got to be the top opening available.
Oh, sure. Right. I mean, because they don't have a quarterback, but they could get Romo if they snap their fingers, for sure. Or they could get Tyrod Taylor if they snap their fingers. Like, Tyrod Taylor and the Broncos makes them, the third best team in the AFC next year automatically.
It's mind-boggling what the Bills have done, why they decided Tyrod Taylor, their offense was not the problem. The problem is Rex Ryan showed up and their defense went from, like number 4 in the league to number 20-something. So, the defense is where they need to improve. Their offense is fine, especially given the fact that Taylor really had no weapons on the outside. Except for Sammy Watkins, 3 games a year.
Yeah, I mean, McCoy is a weapon, but right. More of a running weapon, although he's a good pass catcher. No, I agree. Tyrod Taylor, you could make a case. We rank the quarterbacks. Where do we have him? Like 18th-ish? 20th? Something like that?
So the end of season Chester quarterback rankings, I have him at number 11.
Yeah, I don't think he's that high, but he's... Yeah, I don't think he's really the 11th best QB, but he's definitely like 15, 16 at least.
Yeah, he's not the problem.
Even if you hate him, like, he can't be worse than 18. Like, he's definitely better than, the guys who are, like, in the 20 range, which is, like, Tannehill and Cutler and all those guys.
Yeah.
All right, so before we talk about the individual matchups, do you want to do NFL awards?
Sure. Yeah, let's do awards. We talked about this a little bit the last few weeks, especially the MVP, but I had put together my ballot. Of course, I'm not a voter. Only the AP votes. There's only two votes. There's like 50 votes total or something. For
50 votes
awards.
Total. Very strange. They've never changed it.
Historically, there were no official NFL awards. There were just a bunch of different organizations that gave them. And then over time, the AP sort of became the default most official.
Right. Well, I think UPI, which was like that's why there used to be split national championships in college football.
Yeah.
Because there were multiple. There was three polls, I think. There was like,
but now
there
the
used
NFL
to be like four MVP awards, like NFL PWA or like Pro Football Weekly, so something, and yeah, UPI used to give an award.
Two different ones. Yeah, there's one out of this organization based out of Philadelphia who, shockingly or unshockingly, almost every year an Eagle got it, or like a former Eagle. So like in 1998, they gave it to Randall Cunningham.
Is that why Mark Mosley won the MVP, or was he not even the Eagles kicker that
Washington.
Year?
He was in Washington. He won the AP. He won the AP MVP.
Right. I mean, really, that needs like its own 30 for 30, to be honest. Mark Mosley, the kicker, winning the MVP without even having a great year.
I've tried to look into this so much. I've done a lot of research. Bill Barnwell's also really into it. He's written the columns about it. It still makes no sense. There's no amount of information.
Don't tweet at him about the column, though. He will block you. Let's start with the bad awards and work our way up.
Okay, fine. All right. So how are we going to start?
Well, do you want to do Comeback Player of the Year? Because I don't have a lot of strong takes on that.
Comeback Player of the Year, that's the equivalent, like in the NBA, like the Sixth Man Award. I don't care about that. The Sixth Man Award is not an award. What you're saying is a player who's not good enough to start. Any player who's good enough to start is a starter. So that's a stupid award to me.
I'm guessing you hate the NIT then.
Well, I like the NIT because the Gophers have been good in it.
what about the bowls? You must hate like all the. It is insane that they're like, let's play the 42nd place game right before after the semifinals, before the national finals. Like, do you go home at night and watch those bowls or no?
It depends. Last night, there's a guy in my fantasy league who's decided to pretend he's a Penn State fan all of a sudden, because that's a bandwagon you want to jump on.
Are you talking about Stuardo?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been pretending for a while, at least, that he's a Penn State fan.
Well, since he moved to Pennsylvania, yeah.
And he'll defend Joe Pa, no question, right?
Oh, he defends Sandusky. Totally innocent. So I would say, I guess he was on my fantasy, but I guess I'll give it to Jordy Nelson, because Jordy Nelson ends the season as the number one wide receiver in fantasy football, as an example.
That's crazy.
And considering he was out all of last year, and also the fact that Aaron Rodgers, a lot of his turnaround has to be credited to Nelson, because it was in Nelson's absence that Rodgers struggled so much last year. So Jordy Nelson led the league with 14 touchdown receptions. And so I guess, you can give it to him, but whatever. Right. I don't care.
My comeback player of the year is Adam jones. He stayed out of trouble the whole year, and then he came back to jail just today. Comeback player of the year, Pac-Man Joe.
It's funny because he did like four different things that he was arrested for, but the only one that's actually a felony is that he spat at a nurse in jail after he was arrested.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's assault with a – yeah. So bad job by Pac-Man Jones. We call him Pac-Man again, right? He's not Adam anymore.
Yeah, if you're in jail, you're Pac-Man again. You're Adam when you're keeping yourself clean. Now, now don't, spit in a nurse's face. We're calling you Pac-Man.
Yeah. Have you ever spat in someone's face or been spat into?
Yes.
Which one?
In ninth grade, there was a kid who used to spit at everybody. He got expelled pretty quickly. Yeah, into people's mouths also.
That's really gross. Terrible. I've never spat in anybody's face, but I've had my face spat into. Once by a homeless guy on the subway who was actually trying to spit at my wife, and I took a bullet for her.
Yeah.
One of my proudest moments. A homeless guy started yelling at my wife. He called her a white bitch and a devil for no particular reason. She wasn't, having a conversation. And
you're saying he's not wrong, but it was uncalled for.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I sort of put my body between the two of them because,
look at you.
I figured that was a chivalrous move. And then he spat, and so I took the brunt of that one. And then
the problem is you get the points for chivalry, but if he knocks you out, then you like lose a lot of man points, right?
Like the knocks you like.
Yeah, if he would like punch you in the face.
Homeless people are very scrawny. I could take most homeless people in a fight.
Right, he's probably malnourished. That's a good point.
But there's no holds barred with them, so you don't know what they're going to do. I wouldn't recommend getting into a fight with homeless.
No,
person.
Not at all.
So what's the next award? The Rookie of the Year awards, or?
Yeah, we could do Rookie of the Year, but you got to do defense first, I guess, since we're really going.
There's really only two guys you can consider. There's Joey Bosa and Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey's the guy who all year I thought the Cowboys should have taken instead of Zeke Elliott. If they did, I think they would have had a much better season. I mean, obviously the season's been great. But their secondary is by far the weakest part of this team. They've been the number one rushing offense in the league the last 3 years, regardless of who they have as running back.
But you understand that if you gave them the option now to trade Zeke Elliott for Jalen Ramsey, they would say no.
Well, who's they? Jerry Jones would say no. If you pulled 32 NFL GMs, 28 of them would do that trade in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. All right, interesting take. Look, I mean, I guess like you look at like they have Morris and McFadden as their backup, so you just throw in like
Exactly. They were the number one. They were the number one receiver in the league by a mile in
2014. Why is McFadden the most recognizable guy in the league? Like when he's in, you know, is it like the shoulder pads that they're so high? What's it? What is it about McFadden that you like? When you see him, it's like
also has the shoulder pads though.
Yeah, but McFadden, like you see him, it's like, oh, that's McFadden.
Yeah. Anyway, so Joey Bosa didn't play a full season. His impact was so huge, but I don't know. It was Bosa in the middle of the year. I think by the end of the year it was Ramsey. So I'll give it to Bosa over Ramsey. Yeah, you can have more impact. I think rushing the quarterback. You know, Ramsey will be a guy who will shut down half the field for the next 6 years. But Bosa will be causing havoc on quarterbacks for a while. And it's really sort of those dynamic guys who can both rush the passer and play the run game that have become sort of the elite defensive players, you know, like the Von Millers, the Aaron Donalds, guys like that. And I think Bosa is definitely the next one in that group.
Yeah, I'll give it to Bosa, but it does either one is totally fine.
All right. And offense, obviously, it's Zeke, right? I mean, I shouldn't say obviously. There's a lot of contenders. Obviously, there's Prescott, there's Wentz even, there's Jordan Howard on the Bears, Michael Thomas on the Saints.
What about the Titans tackle? He's really good,
Conklin, he was really, really good, and obviously the Titans running game was elite all year.
Yeah, I go Dak Prescott here.
Oh, really? You give it to him over Zeke?
I think I give it to him over Zeke. We've seen this song before from, like, DeMarco Murray, and I just think that almost anybody, like, obviously you got to stay healthy, but first of all, Elliott got much worse as the season went on because they overused him, which isn't totally his fault, but... I just think that we've seen Cowboys running backs have ridiculous years. Their offensive line would lead anybody.
Yeah. That's fair. I'm going to give it to Zeke. Statistically, he was the second best running back in the league after David Johnson. Although, you know, Le'Veon Bell missed four games between his three-game suspension and then resting although Zeke also rested at week 17. Mm-hmm. All right, coach of the year, it's either Garrett or Belichick, right? Or do you want to go Del Rio, maybe?
I think I would actually go Gaze. I mean, he took such an uninspiring team to the playoffs. Oh,
God. Well, name me a good win they had all year. All right, they beat the Steelers at home. That's it. They barely beat crappy teams like the Rams.
There are no good teams in the NFL. Like, literally, the playoffs is filled with crappy teams. It's an insane argument.
Well, the playoffs are filled with crappy teams. We'll get to that in a second. The playoffs are filled with crappy teams because all the good teams, all the teams that are, like, above-average teams are out of the playoffs, and they were replaced by garbage teams because of schedule luck and, the Dolphins...
The NFL NIT this year would definitely be the most competitive of all time, right? Cardinals, Panthers, Titans, if they had Mariota.
I make my power rankings every week, and then I also look at two statistical power rankings, DVOA and FPI, Football Power Index. But Football Power Index of the top 12, which would be ostensibly the playoff teams, five of those teams are not in the playoffs, which is kind of crazy, right? It's basically 50-50. The Broncos, the Cardinals, the Saints, the Vikings, and the Bengals are all playoff caliber teams according to FBI. If you want to bring DVOA into this, then you have to add the Eagles and Washington and the Ravens. And so all of those teams are better than – I mean, listen to how bad these playoff teams are. Houston, who I have 26 in my power rankings, DVOA has them 29. Houston is the fourth worst team in the league.
But how many – do you have someone – what do you have in the division over them? Tennessee and Indy are better than them in the division?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Houston and Jacksonville are head to – Houston's the worst team in their division according to DVOA. I think they're a smidge better than Jacksonville, but they're basically –
By the way, if Mariota's healthy and they win that Week 16 game and they make the playoffs
– Yeah.
I mean, that you know, he would win. Then they'd probably beat the Raiders, and that would be really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, either
Everyone's going to be jumping all over the Titans for next year. I mean, Mariota in a good line, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, look, they would go into New England and get killed the next week anyway, but it would have made the first game less terrible than it was. Yeah. Okay. But, so Houston's one of the worst teams we've ever had in the playoffs. Detroit, number 27 in DVOA, number 26 in FPI. So Detroit's one of the worst five or six teams in the league. They are in the playoffs for some reason.
You think Detroit's one of the worst five or six teams in the NFL?
According to both DVOA and FPI. According to every statistical analysis, yes.
I'm not buying it.
They have the third to worst defense in the league. They have like the second or third worst running game in the league. They're a terrible team. They're not good. To name me a thing they do well. Remember how many wins they pulled out of their butt? Both Vikings games they won because of a Vikings missed field goal and a crazy comeback. You reverse either one of those, they're out of the playoffs. And that's just two games. Forget about all their other lucky wins that are.
All right, I hope you think Seattle's going to destroy them this week.
Well, the thing is, Seattle has been so unimpressive, including against bad teams. I mean, Seattle just lost at home to Arizona 2 weeks ago.
I mean, you also have to mention that until the last couple weeks of the season, Detroit, every single game they played was close. Like, even their losses were close, too.
Yeah, but they were... Well, no.
Like, they went to Green Bay, lost a close game. They lost to the Titans by one. They've lost close games.
Yeah, but they were
got blown out by the Giants and the Cowboys, who were the two best teams in the conference, in my opinion.
Oh, my God. Don't give me... Okay, so let's get to the Giants. And the Giants are another team that don't serve them in the playoffs. 18th, according to FPI. The Giants are not a good team. The Vikings are a better team than the Giants. They played. The Vikings killed them. Statistically, the Giants are a worse team. The Giants are not a good team. They have one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. They have one of the worst running games in the league. Their offense is one thing, which is Odell Beckham Jr. And receivers dependent on a quarterback getting him the ball. Their defense is good, but there's a million teams with good defenses that aren't in the playoffs with bad offenses, whether it's Denver, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Baltimore, you know, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Arizona, even. The Giants are another crappy team. I think we're so desperate to find a good game in week one that we're all pumping ourselves up on the Giants. But the Giants stink. And then, you know, the only reason that there's not more talk about how bad the Giants are, again, is because we have Detroit and Houston, two of the worst playoff teams we've ever seen. Plus, we have Miami, who's a below-average team. And then plus, we have Oakland, who, without their quarterback, is a below-average team. So, but wait, hold on. We were talking about awards. Let's get back to awards for a second.
All right, so defensive player of the year and then MVP.
Okay, wait. So, coach, so you're going with Adam Gase because of the Dolphins.
No, I mean, I'll go with Belichick, but if you want to do like a non-Belichick, like the same way Popovich could win it most years, like I'll give it to Belichick, and Gase would be my second.
Does Belichick have to get a deduction for that letter he sent to Donald Trump? Not that he supported Donald Trump, but the fact that he wrote a letter that sounded like it was written by Donald Trump. I mean, I still can't imagine how that was actually written. It's incredible to read.
Maybe he'll be asked about it Media Day in, you know, Super Bowl, and he'll ignore it and stare a bullet through the guy.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Jason Garrett, who I still don't think is a good coach, but, you know, they lost their starting quarterback and they won 14 games, so.
Yeah, I know. I have no problem with Garrett, but his team is just loaded beyond belief.
All right, so defensive player of the year, who do you have?
I don't know. It's tough. I like Von Miller, Khalil Mack, but he fell off at the end of the year. Really, the best player, I think, was probably Aaron Donald, but people don't like to give it to someone on such an execrable team.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be, like, you know, you would never give to, you know, you talked about Khalil Mack. The Raiders have a bad defense. You would never give the MVP, or excuse me, the offensive player of the year to a quarterback of a team on a really bad offense. So Khalil Mack, I think, has to be disqualified. He's a great player, but his defense isn't great. To me, it's Von Miller. You know, you can make arguments for a bunch of guys. You know, the Broncos missing the playoffs probably hurts him, even though it shouldn't, because it's an individual award.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd give it to Von Miller. I mean, it's like when you play them, it's the only thing you have to be wary of at this point. You know, I mean, the receivers have slipped, and the quarterback's not good, and the line's shaky, and the secondary's good, but, you know, I mean, it's like he's a game wrecker. When you see him, you're like, oh, shoot, it's like every play is a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're hating on the receivers. They had two 1,000-yard receivers, and considering how bad their quarterback is, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, the receiver, Demaryius Thomas is a really good player. I just, they're just not, with the passing game, it's not something that you lose sleep over. Like, oh my gosh, Trevor Siemian's going to shred us tomorrow.
I mean, how many teams had, you know, multiple 1,000-yard receivers? It was Oakland, it was Denver, it was New Orleans, it was Green Bay, or actually, no, I'm looking, Devontae Adams had 997, so not even Green Bay. Anybody else? I think that's about it.
The Vikings, if you combine all of their receivers, I think had 1,000 yards.
No, they had two 900-yard receivers. They had Thielen was at 967, and then Stephon Diggs was at 903. Diggs missed three games, though. So,
all right, do you like the separating the offensive player of the year and the MVP? Because who cares about offensive player of the year?
Well, yes. I mean, to me, the offensive player of the year should be unanimous. It's not even close, and it's a player who should not be in the MVP consideration. And the fact that he's not going to win offensive player of the year is going to annoy me. And, you know, because, as you said, they're sort of treated the
same. Are you saying David Johnson? Because that's who I have.
It's not close. It has to be David Johnson. David Johnson had a historical season, an unprecedented season. The only reason we didn't pay attention to it is because the Cardinals, you know, laid an egg. But, you know, if you play fantasy, you certainly
know. Now, to be fair, he was better than Zeke, but not, like, ridiculously better than Zeke, in my opinion.
I mean, he had over 3,100 yards. He had 320-something more yards than Zeke. That's a pretty big difference. Yeah. And Zeke had the best offensive line in the league.
Yeah.
He had 80 receptions for 900 yards. He had 20 touchdowns. You know, he led the league in touchdowns. He led the league in yards from scrimmage by a mile. Mm-hmm. By the way.
All right, so we're giving to the same guy.
Yeah, he had 2,100 yards from scrimmage.
Give me your top four for MVP. Let's talk about MVP. Are you going with the four quarterbacks if you had to pick four guys? I mean, you're not throwing David Johnson in there. He was on a bad team. How could you give him the MVP?
Yeah. Well, and I think
the Cowboys guys split it. So, like, are you going with Brady, Rodgers, Carr, and Ryan? Would that be your top four?
No, Derek Carr is no. He's not in my top four because he's not even. I have him as the number seven quarterback on the season by Chester quarterback ranking.
Why do you think some things like QBR despises Carr, but some metrics like him?
You know my opinion about David Carr after the rookie season. And obviously, I've been proven wrong. He's a good quarterback, but you can't call him an MVP. We saw how much worse Oakland is without him there, but you know that's an indictment of Oakland for failing to get a good backup quarterback.
Yeah,
his value isn't higher because how his team put their team together is irresponsible.
Yeah,
But to me, Derek Carr, there's a bunch of quarterbacks who are better than him. Kirk Cousins, frankly, Drew Brees,
Stafford.
Ben Roethlisberger was just as good as Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. No, Stafford's another guy who was very overrated because his team got some wins. Mariota was pretty close to Carr, although Mariota really slowed down at the end of the year before he got injured. So to me, Derek Carr is not in the competition. Aaron Rodgers is in the competition. Obviously, you can't say no when a guy has 44 touchdowns. But to me, the fact that the Packers only won 10, again, that's an indictment. And he looked pretty weak the first half of the year. Now, you could say that about Russell Wilson last year, who then turned it on in the second half. Rodgers has been the best quarterback for the last 6-8 weeks. I'll give you that. But to me, the MVP is really between two guys. It's between Brady and Ryan.
Okay. And who do you got?
I'm going to give it to Brady. 28 touchdowns to two.
I mean, it's a philosophical question, right? Like, cumulatively, Ryan provides more value in 16 games than Brady did in 12. I think it's hard to argue. But you could argue like, Brady was so good in 12 games that the other four games barely mattered. Like, had the Patriots gone 1-3... You know, they're not one seed, but I think they are the two seed, right?
But hold on. Tom Brady and Matt Ryan both won 11 games this year. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, Brady did it in four games fewer. So you say, well, he Ryan added more value in 16 games. Well, they both gave their teams, contributed to 11 victories. Look, if you want to give it to Ryan, I won't object. He had, just short of 5,000 yards. Second in the league in touchdown passes to Rodgers, obviously. His Chester quarterback ranking 106.1. Brady's is 106.9. So they're really, really close. And when they're that close and a guy plays, 25% more of a season, I'll understand if you want to give it to Ryan.
He beat Brady in passer rating and QBR. His yards per attempt is in a little bit like just ridiculous 9.3.
Yeah, it's very, very high. And he did it again without Julio Jones for 2.5 games, which is a credit.
Right.
It reminds me of 2004 when Dante Culpepper had that.
To his credit, like, he has Julio Jones for 13.5 games. Like, Edelman's a nice player, but the Patriots don't have anybody on the planet of Julio Jones.
Yeah, but two of his best games of the year were when Julio didn't play. Yeah. Now, they were against San Francisco. I mean, it was against garbage teams, but still.
Right, but and he turned guys like Taylor Gabriel into stars who get cut from the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, the bottom line is I'm fine giving it to Brady. Or Ryan. Aaron Rodgers had as many turnovers as Brady and Ryan combined.
Right, very few.
Well, yeah, he only had 11. But, Tom Brady, by the way, only starting quarterback in the league, did not lose a single fumble all year. So in the Chester quarterback ranking, I combined both interceptions and fumbles because, they both matter. Brady was sacked less than any other quarterback in the league all year, which obviously a big part of that has to do with his offensive line. But, there's a reason the best quarterbacks, every single year, Peyton Manning would be sacked less than any quarterback in the NFL.
I was watching part of the Patriots-Dolphins game. He's just getting rid of the ball so quickly, like the camera can barely keep up with him. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They say that, and Rodgers, he's got the Bakhtiari, who's on a fantastic left tackle. And they say that Rodgers is actually holding the ball, like, all day. Like, he's the opposite of Brady.
Rodgers. Yeah, and one of the things like Barnwell and others on Twitter have complained about is whenever like people show the stat, like a guy's quarterback ranking when he gets rid of the ball in less than 3 seconds versus his quarterback ranking when he holds the ball for more than 4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Like for every single player in the league, it's way, way lower. The longer you hold the ball, the worse outcome for every quarterback in the league. And the one exception is Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And then a little bit Roethlisberger. But yeah, because they have the ability to, especially Rodgers, to, he just hangs out, and then eventually one of his receivers gets open.
Mm-hmm. Look, Rodgers, all right, so you are Rodgers going with – you're going with – Brady, I'm going with Ryan, but we agree to disagree. Not a big deal.
As long as it's one of those two, I'm happy. I will be really annoyed if somebody else.
Oh no, Ryan is winning. Oh, let's make it quite clear. Ryan's getting almost every vote. The media, for sure. The media. I mean, Brady will definitely get a few votes.
The problem is
Rodgers won't get more than one.
You have some of the Bill Plaschke's in the media who are like, out there to get Brady because of deflation.
Yeah, so those guys will vote for Ryan, but the media for the last bunch of years has really ends up settling on one candidate.
Yeah. All right. I got no major problem with that. All right, so is it time to discuss the four games we have this weekend?
Yeah, let's talk about the playoff games. I mean, we could spend less time on that than we did on like, you know what we didn't mention? Maybe it's a little late now. Let me plug the pool of pools that you're not in. Send me an email if you're interested in that. That's 12 pools. Okay, 12
this is
months.
Getting edited out of the podcast. So
don't edit it out.
Don't think that you can advertise for a pool that I'm not a part of.
Why not? Why not? No. Who cares? Nope. You start your own pool. Can I advertise for the playoff pool?
Yeah. Oh, the playoff.
The celebrity thing. Okay. So so let's plug the NFL playoff pool. We got three pools. It's playoff survivor, playoff fantasy, which is just TDs, and playoff confidence. Three cool pools, all for the I won't say price on the podcast, but if gambling was legal, it would be for a price. Hit me up. Here's my idea. What do you think about this idea? The biggest celebrity that joins the pool gets to join for free. Meaning, if you're like Tom Cruise wants to be in the pool, he can be in it for free. Now, Tom Cruise is not going to be in it, but it's like, I think the rule is
no. I'm putting
okay. Don't go against religion. You're going to be like the dirtbag left all of a sudden. You're throwing people out based on the religion.
I thought it's not a religion. What are you talking about?
Yeah, ask your taxes. It is a religion according to tax papers. I think that, but no reality, no reality people, because obviously we could get reality people. So if you're involved with reality TV, I mean, I guess if you're like Donald Trump and you're involved with reality TV, you could be in the pool.
What if you're the executive?
Wait, is Trump allowed in the pool? Is Trump allowed in the pool? Do you let Trump in? He could be in the pool. It would be cool because the winner gets to come on the podcast.
Do you want Donald Trump in the pool?
Yeah. No, he's welcome on the podcast.
We
can't promise like a smooth ride, you know.
Well, no. The reason I say no is because Donald Trump famously does not pay money when he owes it. So he will not pay the dues.
Well, what if we make him pay up front?
I thought you were saying he gets to come in for free, though.
Yeah, he's for free. But if a bigger celebrity, I'm not sure who'd be bigger than him. If like the Pope wants to be in our gambling pool, or like
hand size, or like how are we judging size?
No, we decide the celebrity. So if you know a celebrity they want to join, they can be in. But if someone beats them, they're out, or they have to pay. But no reality TV people, because we have too many people with too much easy access to reality TV people. All right, fine. So that's fun. But if you're not a celebrity and you just want to join, email me or Chester or tweet me or whatever.
Yeah. By the way, the one other thing we have to get to before we get into previewing this week's games is the 32 Fans Pick'em Pool, which actually is a pool that we can discuss on this podcast. In the semifinals, Mike Clark, who had the league's best defense all season long, who had taken down you, the one seed, in the previous round of the playoffs, his defense was so good this week that he shut down himself. He forgot to make his picks, and he gets eliminated. Is that crazy?
Oh, did he tell you why he forgot to make his picks?
No, he just emailed me Sunday night, and he's like, "Oh my god, crap! I cannot believe this. I forgot to make my picks," and I hadn't even bothered to check to make sure everybody was making their picks because I thought, like, you know,
yeah. By the way, a good commish would have noticed. I mean, you might not have noticed till after 1 o'clock games. I'm sure it would have been too late, but a good commish would have noticed. I would have noticed.
Is it my job to notify him, though? Because maybe that's unfair to his opponent. Although his opponent should wanted to win fair and square.
Yeah, of course. Everyone wants to win fair and square. No, I always, in all of our pools, if someone hasn't picked, it's like 5 minutes before the deadline, I send an email.
So you think as commissioner, I should have noticed before the games and then told him?
I mean, ideally, but certainly after the 1 o'clock games, you should have noticed.
Yeah, I mean, by that point, it would have been too late.
Yeah, so. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, so we got 14 seed Jonathan Shapiro against 15 seed Emily Easterly. Mm-hmm. And here's the fun little wrinkle. Because they are the championship in our pool is the 11 playoff games. So they have to predict the 11 playoff games.
Okay.
And if they are tied in all 11 games, because they were tied on the season coming into the playoffs.
Yeah, what's the tiebreaker? Do we make a tiebreaker for that?
No, I hate when there's artificial tiebreakers. If they're tied, they split the pool. So
what's the fun wrinkle?
Oh, just the fact that that we could have a tie.
Oh, that's not fun. A tie's like kissing your sister, which, I mean, I guess do whatever for you. It's exciting. Yeah. Okay, so let's get into the games.
What was that?
I don't know. You have a sister, right? I don't know. I've never met your sister. Was she at that wedding? I didn't meet her at all.
She was at my brother's. Yes, my sister was at my brother's wedding.
I don't know. Maybe there's like family drama. You're in the family. I feel like you could have torn the whole thing apart.
Yeah. But by the way, at Emily and Jonathan, I hope you guys aren't going to hedge your bet, like split, you know, play to win, right?
Yeah, there's not enough money in that pool. But the winner gets to be on the podcast. I'd like to know what they're – I mean, it's possible like neither of them is even slightly interested in being on the podcast. But if they are, they have a slot for their own show. I know Michael Clark, who lost in the semifinals, was going to talk about the 1998 Yankees for the whole time, which maybe God, you know, made him forget to pick, so we wouldn't have to do that. But
also, Michael might be suspended from the podcast for his audio issues when we had him on to discuss the Patriots in the preseason.
Suspended from the podcast?
Well, I don't know. He's got a close.
You're suspended from the podcast. Anyway,
I wasn't ready.
So if Jonathan or Emily are listening, let us know what your topic is, or if you're not interested in coming on if you win. It could be anything.
Yeah.
No, but it would be funny to like root against if one of them is like really boring or interesting or whatever.
All right. All right. So let's get to these games.
Let's go chronologically.
Yeah, which is also the order of goodness of the games. Well, I guess you could swap two and three maybe. But clearly the worst game of the week, a game that nobody wants to watch. In fact, I'm not going to watch this game.
Mm. You're not going to Shakey's Pizza? Oh, sorry, wrong podcast. Okay.
Yeah. Houston favored at home against Oakland, kind of crazy. Mm. Houston just lost to a Tennessee team that had nothing to play for.
And Matt Cassel.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler has been announced as the starter for this game. I don't want to talk about this game. I don't want to have a guest talk about this game. I don't want to think about this game. The winner of this game will be murdered by New England. They'll probably be like 17-point underdogs in the second round. If forced to make a pick, I guess I'll pick Oakland just because, they won 12 games. I have to mention at some point it wasn't just a one-person team, but who knows. What about you? You have anything to say about this game?
No, we spent the entire year joking about that this ESPN 435 game is going to be abysmal, right?
Yeah.
And this is even worse than our wildest imaginations. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I will watch it, although I'm not committing to watching the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like maybe the second half, or maybe I'll fall asleep because it's late here in the first half and I'll watch the rest of the morning. There's just no outcome that the problem is, like, who cares? If it's exciting the fourth quarter, I have no problem watching it, but I have no stakes in it at all other than gambling stakes. Yeah. You know, I'm a crazy person with gambling. I don't need to watch the end of the game. Like, it's, you know, I'm like Billy Bean, you know, on the tread, except I'm not on the bike. Billy Bean in like a dark clubhouse on the exercise bike doesn't need to watch the playoffs because like his stuff doesn't work in the playoffs. I don't need to watch my gambling picks. Even fantasy football, I try not to pay attention to what my team is doing during the day of fantasy football because it ruins my football watching. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah. Again, I think the problem here is that neither one of these teams has any chance to do anything.
Yeah, I'm saying who cares? It's like who's going to get annihilated by the Patriots or even the Chiefs next week?
Well, that would require the Dolphins winning, but yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, that's you think that's not possible?
It's pretty close to impossible.
Okay.
All right, so let's get to that. Well, okay, so then the second game of the week, not much better, Seattle-Detroit. As we already discussed, Detroit, one of the worst teams to make the playoffs in a long time. The only saving grace is that Seattle has looked really mediocre in a bunch of games, including against a bunch of bad teams. But, they still went 7-1 this year at home. This game might be closer than it deserves to be, but there's no chance that the Lions are going to win.
No, the Seahawks are going to win. I do think that the Seahawks will probably be blown out next week by either of the home teams, though.
I strongly disagree with that. I think that
Seahawks, not either. It's if they win, then they play in Atlanta. So there's no either.
But also, the Seahawks are a team all year that has performed to the level of their opponent. They've looked bad.
But they've also had a few clunkers.
Teams. Yeah, but those are mostly against bad teams.
And they haven't been great on the road all year.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Seattle's going to go to the Super Bowl.
I mean, listen, it wouldn't blow my mind, but this is not the same quality team. They won three road games all year.
Yeah, are we making those picks right now or no?
Well, I'm not going to – we can't make picks. I'm in like 20 pools where, I don't want to make picks. No, I'll make picks. I don't care. I'll make picks. Who cares?
Wait. Who did you pick in the first game again? Are you picking Oakland or Houston?
I'm picking Oakland in that first game.
Yeah, me too. I'm definitely taking the points because it's a toss-up.
All right.
So in game two – in game two, I'm going to take the points again. I think it'll be close, but Seattle's going to win.
Yes, yeah, I have Seattle winning that game, but, I mean, if they lost 24-0, wouldn't surprise me. They're so up and down.
Wow.
I mean, listen, they just have so many they scored 6 points against the Cardinals. They scored 5 points against the Bucks. They scored 3 points against the Rams, like 12 against the Dolphins. They just had so many games this year where they didn't show up at all.
Yeah, but again, those were all against bad teams for whatever reason. Although we said the Lions are a bad team.
I don't believe that's like Bill Simmons mumbo jumbo, like playing down to your opponent. I don't believe that happens a lot.
Happened to happen with this team this year. I don't know the reason for it. I'm not saying that there's necessarily some kind of predictive.
Yeah, I'm saying that's a small sample size. I don't buy it. I never buy that stuff.
Yeah, it might not have predictive value. Yeah, that's fair.
And again, they got destroyed. Like in the last month, they killed the Rams, and they got killed by the Packers. That seems like playing up and down to your opponents.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Packers game is the exception to that. That's true. Okay, Akiva, let's bring in a neutral party to adjudicate this. So returning to the podcast for at least his third time, maybe more, is your former roommate, Josh Gresham. Josh, welcome back to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good.
So, you know, you're a Seahawks fan, obviously. Akiva and I have been talking about how this entire weekend of games really sucks, and your game is part of the problem. Statistically, the Lions are one of the five or six worst teams in the NFL and by far the worst team in the playoffs in the NFC. The problem is that the Seahawks have sort of had a habit of playing down to their competition. Akiva dismissed me when I said that. He doesn't really believe in that concept. But, you know, you lost to the Rams. You barely beat the 49ers last week. You lost at home to the Cardinals the week before. So, but then this is the same team that goes into New England and wins. So, and given that plus sort of Detroit's penchant for every game coming down to the wire, is this going to be a game that the Seahawks are going to win like by 2 or 3 points, or are they going to blow Detroit out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a one-score game, probably within 7. I do think the Seahawks will win just because they're at home. I would not be as confident if they were on the road. But I would say, like, the bigger concern for me, the offense, is more the defense. They have not looked the same since Earl Thomas got hurt. I think I saw a stat today that they've gone from allowing, before that, I think they were allowing 17 points per game, and then after that they've been allowing, like, 30 or something like that. So that's my bigger concern, more than the offense. You know, their offense scores in bunches, the Seahawks, but they certainly don't sustain too many drives because, and it really comes down to their offensive line. But I don't think the Lions have anyone who can punish them in the same way that a lot of those teams that they've played do.
But this is the offense that scored, you know, 5 points against Tampa and 3 points against LA, 10 points against the Packers, 12 points against Miami.
Yeah, they certainly have their... they've certainly had their duds this year. They've really been a schizophrenic team this year. They score 30 or they score 10 or below. One thing from following the team pretty closely is that they usually are in the biggest trouble when a team has interior, like good interior rushers. Their guards are absolute garbage this year. Their tackles are bad too, but... but their guards are even worse. So, like the Cardinals, for instance, like when they have Calais Campbell who comes in, he just absolutely destroys them. Which is, even though they scored 30, I think they scored 31 the other week against them, they didn't score anything. They had like a field goal in the first half. So it's like they score in bunches, but it's the interior of the line just gets wrecked against certain teams. And I think that the Lions, you know, I hope that they don't, I don't think they have the personnel that really ruins them, but they can't run the ball this year. So anything can happen in games where you have to rely on throwing.
All right, and what do you think? I told Akiva, I think the Seahawks can go back to the Super Bowl. I think part of it is they don't have to play, you know, you said you wouldn't feel as confident on the road, but their road games are going to be at Atlanta or possibly at the Cowboys next week. And neither one of those can scare you that much, right?
Or at home against the Packers or the Giants or whoever.
Please,
you know.
Please don't even say that.
People are really high on the Giants. I don't know why their offense sucks, but I mean...
We've seen this before. We've seen a shitty Giants team with a shitty Eli Manning suddenly magically, you know...
I like how everyone thinks that because they did that twice means that has any bearing on what they can do on this year. Like,
oh, you're absolutely right.
So stupid.
But then, you know, it's happened. So
all I'm saying is, like, you don't really, you know, I don't. I think the NFC is pretty wide open. Unlike the AFC, where like if the Pats don't win, it would be a huge upset if they don't go to the Super Bowl. The Seahawks have proven this year they can beat anybody, but they also have proven they can lose to anybody. So it's like so hard to be confident in them. I think Wilson is you know, that one Green Bay NFC Championship game notwithstanding, is a pretty big time playoff quarterback. And
his game at Green Bay this year obviously was atrocious.
Oh, maybe it's just something about Green Bay. I don't really know, but he you know, and so if they're home, even home against Green Bay in the championship game, I can't say I'd be all that confident. Especially that means, because that would mean Green Bay has two more wins under their belt against actual, you know, good teams. But like, listen, could they go? Yeah, I'm not. This is the lowest expectation I've had of them, you know, since Russell Wilson got there.
Apparently, if you think they're going to struggle to beat the Lions this week. So who would you, if you had to pick an NFC Super Bowl entrant right now, who would you pick?
Honestly, I think like the Packers are pretty terrifying right now, just because any, you know, with Rodgers playing the way he's playing, and it doesn't, like, every team has a pretty big flaw to it. And so, yeah, like, Packers defense isn't that good, but you know what, if you can put up 35, like, does it really matter? And I don't think there's too many teams that can stop them. Probably the Cowboys are the favorite, obviously, because they're the one seed, and so they get to play two home games if it comes to that. But the Packers would be the team that scares me the most.
All right. Well, I can't say I wish you luck after what you did in the wild card last year. But, I mean, I do want to see Seattle win just because the Lions are such a garbage team. And I think that the top four in the NFC would make a very good next weekend to make up for the bad games this weekend.
Listen, I think the Seahawks will win, and I think it won't be – I don't think – you know, even if it's like a seven-ish point game, I don't think it'll feel that close. I think it's one of those games where the Seahawks will be in control most of the time. Because I think the Lions suck. It's not because I think the Seahawks are that good. I think it's because the Lions suck.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you there. All right, Joshua. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, and good luck on Saturday night.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Continuing along with this garbage game run, we have the Steelers, who everybody has anointed as a Super Bowl contender just because you need somebody else in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing the Dolphins.
Right, this would be like the sixth seed a lot of years, and we'd be like, oh, this is just not a good Steelers team.
Yeah. The Dolphins are probably about the 18th or 19th best team in the league, and that's with Ryan Tannehill. So, with Matt Moore.
I don't think Moore's a big downgrade from Tannehill. I think Moore's fine.
Really? So you think that the Dolphins would be 9-point underdogs in this game, regardless of who their quarterback was?
No, but it doesn't move more than a point and a half max.
So you think they would have been 8-point underdogs? See, to me, I think it moves.
But I also think the spread is insane. I think it's too big.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers haven't been great. And the Dolphins did beat the Steelers again with their only good win the entire season. I'm not sure why the Steelers are favored by so much. I think, again, people are a little bit because they're a public team and a little bit because people are so desperate for there to be some good team in the AFC. Mm-hmm. I think so this is the third game in a row I'm going to pick the underdog. That will change as we get to the next game, I promise you that. But it's another game where I'm going to take the points just because it seems like a lot, but there's no way I can see the Steelers losing this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be very close, but I'll pick the Steelers by a point. Dolphins definitely cover.
Oh, wow. So you think these teams are next?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I've been on the Dolphins bandwagon since the summer of 2015. Why would I get off now?
That is true.
Don't point out that I've gotten off already.
All right.
Okay, Akiva, so let's bring in a non-neutral observer to give us their opinion on this one. Ricky Rubio just hit a three at the buzzer to send this game to overtime. Sorry, I'm distracted.
No problem.
Ricky Rubio, I'm watching the Timberwolves 76ers game of real winners as this is happening, and when Ricky Rubio hits a shot, you got to stop and appreciate because it's a rare occasion, especially at the buzzer. But all right, back to what we were talking about. So, Akiva, let's bring a Dolphins fan on. I say a Dolphins fan because I imagine that he won't get a chance to come on next week again, whereas the Steelers fan probably has at least one more shot. So we have Mike Woodburn here to talk about the Dolphins. Mike, you know, you're flying under the radar a little bit, the Dolphins, as sort of a mediocre, crappy, possibly undeserving playoff team because there's so many of them this year. There's obviously Houston is a worse team. Detroit's a worse team. Oakland, without Derek Carr, might be a worse team as well. So the Dolphins slide in there, and nobody's really sort of disrespecting them as much as they possibly should, but this is a team that you look at their schedule. The only impressive win they had the entire season was conveniently enough against this week's opponent, the Steelers. You know, that was the 30-15 game back in October. Other than that, you don't have a single win all year against a good team. You don't have a win all year, even, you know, by more than a touchdown. And whereas, you know, you've been on the wrong side of a bunch of blowouts. Obviously, last week against the Patriots was pretty bad. But a few weeks before that against Baltimore, the game that at the time you lost, it looked like you were probably, you know, that was an elimination game. So the Dolphins are here, but it hasn't been that impressive of a season. And so tell me, how do you feel about having made the playoffs? Are you sort of, or is your attitude, you know what, we'll take it anyway, we can get it?
Well, both. I do agree, you know, I'll take it anyway, I can get it. But I actually would disagree that it's not really been an impressive run. The reason I say that is I've watched this team, this crappy team.
Oh my God. The Sixers just hit. There was 1 second to go, and the Sixers hit an alley-oop at that buzzer.
Oh,
the
geez.
Actual buzzer. So Timberwolves lose. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. So what I was saying is I disagree in the fact that, you know, they're not impressive wins, or it's not an impressive season, or it's not an impressive run for the playoffs. I've watched this team for a long time, and I've seen them play down to their opponents, play up to their opponents. But primarily, I've seen them absolutely never be able to finish a game. And this year, with the first-year head coach, Adam Gase, for the first time, with a roster that I think is deprived of talent from top to bottom, they're finishing games. They're playing close games. You know, they actually had two decisive wins, thank you very much, not just the one. They had the Steelers, you know, the 30-15,
whatever
that was. Oh,
the game against the Jets. Sorry.
Exactly. The mighty, mighty Jets.
I forgot about that one. My apologies.
No, I'm joking. So yeah, I mean, yeah, we're playing close games, and you know, we're winning close games. We're also losing some close games. You know, last couple days ago when we played the Patriots, the scoreboard makes it look worse than it is. You know, we were down 20-0, and then we came back 20-14. We were driving down the field, you know, to make it a one score game, and you know, the Patriots do what they do. They close the game. You know, they won. Yada yada yada. But every game this year has been. They fought hard, and it's something that I haven't seen this team do in a long, long time. So, you know, I agree with you. You know, we're not a strong contender for the really even winning one playoff game. But this team is different in the terms of I've seen them win things that they never would have in past years.
Well, let me ask you another question. Is there any chance Ryan Tannehill is going to play in this game?
Yeah, you know, there is a chance. It comes down to really if he's going to actually practice this week, which I think he is. He's been rehabbing like crazy, and he's making a good case for himself. But my personal opinion, I think Adam Gase is going to sit him and play it safe, you know, not to ruin anything for the offseason or next year. So I think we're going to roll with Matt Moore, but there is a chance.
All right, so you're saying there is a chance. Vegas does not seem to think so. Vegas has this as a 9-point spread, which is the biggest spread of the week, and
yikes.
That's even, you know, even bigger than the than Seattle's giving Detroit. So not a lot of respect over there. What's your prediction for this game?
I would say my prediction is a Steelers win. Unfortunately, I'm going to go 31-24 Steelers. I think that whenever they get a lead, they're going to hold on to that lead by running the ball with Le'Veon Bell, by just controlling the offense through and through. You know, our defense is really weak, especially in the middle of the field. Our linebackers can't cover that side for anything. And I think the Steelers are going to take advantage as soon as they get a lead and ride it from there.
All right, and since we have you, I guess I'll ask you, sort of longer term looking at this team, Akiva actually really seems to like Adam Gase. He thinks that he deserves a Coach of the Year consideration, which is a little more credit than I'm willing to give him. on the other hand, Tannehill, you know, coming off the 2014 season when he was so promising, last year was really bad. This year was better than last year, but still can't give you, you know, too much confidence that he's really a long-term solution at quarterback. So, you know, assuming that you do lose this game 31-24 or otherwise, as a Dolphins fan, how do you approach the offseason?
Well, you know, I've gone so back and forth so many times with Tannehill in particular, games where, you know, he has an amazing comeback like against the Rams, but, you know, he played like crap for, you know, the first 55 minutes of that game. And then games like the 2014 Broncos game, again, he plays amazingly. And then, I mean, there's just so many times in between where, I mean, he does nothing when he should be, you know, dominating. So Tannehill's kind of a mystery. Where I stand on the guy is, I think we have to stick with him. I think that we have too many holes in the rest of the roster, primarily the defense, to really focus on, you know, drafting a first-round quarterback or going after one in free agency and then, you know, building him up, waiting another year, et cetera, et cetera. I think we have to ride with Tannehill. I think this year in particular, he proved that under the right circumstances, he can win. And Adam Gase, I think, is going to get the most out of him. Now, the most out of him meaning, in my opinion, he's going to be, yeah, I don't know, top 15 at best. I think he's just middle of the round, you know, middle of the road, and I think we can win with him, but we need to improve the rest of the team. So the way I would approach the offseason, I guess, is bolster up that defense. You know, we've done good despite a lot of injuries, the linebackers, the safeties, the cornerbacks. So, you know, just build on the defense and give Tannehill another year under this offense. I mean, he's gone through Adam Gase, Bill Lazor, Mike, boy, I can't remember the guy's name, but his old college coach. you know, he's gone through a lot of offensive coordinators, and I think that consistency will do him a lot of good.
All right. And, you know, we probably should have had you on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, actually, because we were ranking the top podcast of the year for 2016. And you're a pretty big podcast guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's how your co-host actually found me, I guess, is I talk way too much about podcasts on Twitter.
All right. So if you had to turn on listeners of this podcast to one other podcast other than obviously 32 Fans, what would it be?
Well, I think it just depends on your preference. I'm mostly a comedy fan, so every podcast on the Earwolf Network I really enjoy. If you're into the whole fantasy worlds and if you're into improv, I think my favorite podcast of 2016 is a podcast called Hello from the Magic Tavern. Really funny podcast. Definitely check that one out. If you're into sports, I don't necessarily love the hosts, but you really can't go wrong with the Around the NFL podcast just to get some basic insight if you don't have time to obviously watch all the games every week. But yeah, you know, just comedy podcast in general. You know, check out the Improv podcast, Improv for Humans. Boy, there's so many.
Yeah, I think Akiva likes you because you're a Doughboys fan.
Yeah, Doughboys. You can't go wrong with Doughboys.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us, and good luck to your Dolphins this week. You know, if they were to win, I assume Tannehill would definitely play the next week, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I think this year is a little iffy, but I think if we win, which, you know, fingers crossed, but we'll see.
Well, all I got to do then is go into Foxborough, so no big deal.
Hey, you know, we can do it. I have faith in my team for whatever reason.
Akiva hates the Dolphins because he's a Jets fan, and, you know, they've had this rivalry. But most of America hates the Steelers and the Patriots far more. So I think you will have a lot of neutral observers rooting for the upset this weekend if somehow you reach it next week as well.
I hope so. And as far as Akiva goes, you know, tell him to take out the broom and look at the scoreboard this year, and we'll see him next year.
No, but you helped him because at least by the second one, for sure, he was rooting for losses. He was just looking at draft positioning by that point. So,
you know, draft position. I mean, everybody talks about it, but hey, if you can't draft well, it doesn't matter. So there you go.
All right. Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, hey, have a good one. Thanks.
Okay, so then we get to the game of the week, and it's really by default because there is no other good game. As I said, you know, the Giants are 18th in FPI. The Giants are not a playoff-caliber team. One of the worst quarterbacks in the league. One of the worst running games in the league. They have a good defense, but not a great defense. They are going to get murdered by the Packers. This is the only game where I'm taking the favorite to cover. This is my gambling lock of the week, is this one. This is the only one I'm positive about. The Packers are going to cover. The Giants are going to get murdered. And of course, just like when they went into 15-1 Lambeau, or in 2007 in the NFC Championship when they went into, you know, also was a big underdog. Somehow the Giants are going to go into Green Bay and pull one out of their butts, right? The Giants are going to the Super Bowl just to piss us off and to piss me off in particular.
But it's not going to be Giants Ravens because the Ravens didn't make it. What's the matchup? And we're watching Giants Patriots. So what's the matchup that we don't watch? Giants Steelers? Giants Texans?
No.
What if it was like Giants? Oh, and I hate the Dolphins. I would be rooting for the Giants if it was Giants Dolphins. Giants Raiders, at least like good for the Raiders. Maybe Carr comes back for the Super Bowl. That's exciting. Giants Texans would be unwatchable. Steelers, I'm sick of.
Hold on. The Lions would be worse Chiefs? In the Super Bowl than the Giants, objectively. For me, the Giants would be worse, but.
Right.
If we're talking about the worst Super Bowl.
In terms of fandom, not the worst game imaginable. Yes, Lions Texans would be a bad game.
Yeah.
You could argue Cowboys Texans would be a bad game because
the Packers are the team that most of the Vikings.
Like Lions Texans could be close. Lions play every game. Lions play is close.
So you're saying what is the Super Bowl matchup that I personally least want to see? I guess I least want to see Giants Patriots. I don't want to hear all the hype about those idiotic teams again.
You have a really good chance to win the Super Bowl.
Really? I mean, I wouldn't say really good. The Giants are going to be underdogs in each of the next three games.
Yeah. So I'm picking the Giants to cover. That's my lock. You want to bet on that? We could bet on that. And I may pick them to win, but I'm not ready to pick that game yet.
Well, when are you ready? Because this is when we're recording our podcast.
Oh. Well, what do you mean? I'm giving this out for free. All right, I'm picking the Giants to win the game.
Wow. What do you hate about the Packers?
No, Packers are fine. The Giants are going to shut them down. Giants D is great. Right. Packers are going to run for like, you know, 12. They're going to have Reggie Bush numbers, like 12 for -7 with big snacks.
Yeah, and how many yards are the Giants going to run for?
I was wrong. I'll say mea culpa. Like, I thought that the Giants signing Damon Harrison was terrible because, like, anyone the Jets have stuck in there in the last few years has been dominant, including Snacks Harrison. So I figured, like, he's a product of the system and he plays literally less than half the snaps. It's a passing league. He literally just stuffs the run. but he's been so dominant that it's like it still may long term not be the best contract because he's a big fat guy who's old, but I mean he's just been incredible this year.
Yeah.
All right, Akiva. Unfortunately, we have to bring a Giants fan on, I think, to talk about this game since it's the only game this weekend that has even the slightest hope of being a decent game, in your estimation, anyways. I, of course, think it'll be a blowout for the Packers. Coming back to the podcast, actually, for his second time, it is Jonah Sobin. Hardcore 32 fans will know that this is the second time on the podcast. Jonah, when I recorded a podcast on the AFC South from his basement after our fantasy draft, he pretended to be a Houston Texas fan to predict some of their schedule because something happened to our Texans fan. But Jonah, you're actually a Giants fan. Is that correct?
I am actually a Giants fan. But I have to say, I can be a very good Texans fan when called upon.
Yeah. So are you one of those Giants fans who slurps the Eli Manning and doesn't, you know, acknowledge reality or statistics or on-field performance or any other kind of evidence?
Besides my objectionable, you know, slurping, I really hate that word. I think it's pretty gross. I do not slurp Eli Manning in any way, shape, or form. I think he's had an excellent Giants career. I think that any Giants fan will tell you he's been a great quarterback, probably the best in franchise history. Clearly, according to statistics, you know, and nobody can take two Super Bowl MVPs away from him. But he's obviously had, you know, a rough past couple of years. He's very much done, you know, he's done great in Bob McAdoo's offense. He's certainly helped him rejuvenate his career a little bit. But by all advanced statistics, you know, he's had a bad 2 to 3 years. His yards per attempt are down. There's some advanced statistic about turnovers created. I mean, it's very bad. That being said, I very much trust him in a big spot. You know, he's come through over and over again, and this is a team that doesn't rely on him to do a ton.
Well,
right now.
You say really only twice, 2007, 2011. They've never won a playoff game any other year in his career.
Many times during those Super Bowl runs. You know, he had to go on the road 5 out of 6 of those games, and he put up elite numbers.
No, he didn't. In 2007, he averaged like 190 yards a game. They won because of their defense. In 2011, he had a couple of great games. I will give him that.
In the playoff runs, he was great. He made great throws when they needed him to do. That 2011 game against San Francisco was one of the best games I've seen a quarterback play in my lifetime.
All right, so let's talk about the here and now. It's been, I think, 6 weeks since the Giants scored even 20 points. Their offense has been, you know, their running game has been abysmal. Their offensive line isn't very good. Eli's been a bottom 10 quarterback this year. It's basically just been Odell Beckham and then hope the defense can hold the other team to like 12 or 13 points. It's going to be very hard to do that to the Packers, especially the way Aaron Rodgers is playing right now.
So I disagree with you. I was one of my, a couple of Giant fans that was actually rooting for the Packers. I think that the Packers have the Giants match up much better against the Packers than they do against the Lions. I think it's very difficult to beat an opponent twice in 1 year. I think that the things that the Packers bring to the table, the Giants can stop much.
The fact that you lost the Packers and beat the Lions is evidence that the Lions are better than the Packers.
No, I didn't say that. I just think that the Giants match up better with the Packers than they do with the Lions.
Okay, so the fact that the Packers beat the Giants and that the Lions lost the Giants is evidence that the Packers are a better matchup for the Giants?
No, I think that the way the Lions win games is very similar to the way the Giants win games. And I think that the Giants...
But they didn't win a game. They lost by 11 when you played them just 2 weeks ago.
The Giants beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm saying that their style of play... You know, the fact that they rely on short passes that the Giants do extremely well at stopping. The Giants are an excellent tackling team. The Giants are able to control, you know, running games. And they're able to control secondaries. And, you know, they can stop big plays. That's what they've been doing all year. Their secondary has been elite. You know, they're between Eli Apple, obviously Landon Collins, who's had a defensive MVP type of year. You know, these are the type of teams that they've been stopping all year. I think that Green Bay is going to struggle to put up points. And, you know, the Giants have had the same recipe over and over and over this year. If you look at their over-under in terms of point spreads, every single game has gone under except for 4 games this year. I think that's very telling if you look at how the Giants have been playing all year. And I think that that's a recipe that's easily duplicated in the playoffs.
All right, so what's your prediction for this game?
My prediction for this game is I think that the Giants are not going to score more than 24 points. if they are able to limit
24 would be great. You have, last time you did that was against the Browns. Before that, you haven't done it since when? I think like the Eagles game in October or something like that.
Yeah, I mean the Giants have struggled to score points this year, 100%.
If yeah, 24 would be their fourth highest scoring game of the year.
Yeah, but this is the playoffs, and this is when I think that Bob McAdoo has been very conservative in his play calling this year. I think he's held a lot close to his chest, and I think that he really has been coaching very conservatively this season. And I think now is the time to sort of take off the reins and let's see what they can do. Let's see how many points they can put up, because they're going to need to score points.
Okay, so you said the Giants won't score more than 24, but how many of the Packers are going to score?
No, I think that they can easily hold the Packers under 17 points.
So if the Giants are going to win 24-17, is that what you're saying?
I certainly expect the Giants to win. I think
you expect them, not you hope you expect them to win?
Yeah, I expect them to win.
You'll be surprised if the Giants lose.
I'd be surprised. I mean, it's a 4-point spread. The Giants are dogs by 4 points, so obviously Vegas expects them, to lose. But based on everything I've seen from this team, and yeah, obviously you're going against a great quarterback. Anything can happen. Aaron Rodgers is incredible. He's he could win in the MVP this year. That being said, I think the Giants match up very well against the Packers, and I expect the Giants to win, yes.
All right. Well, I think it'll be a victory for the Giants if they're within 21 points, but we will see who's right, and I'm sure that I will be cursed because I hate this Giants team, and I'm sure they're going to go win another Super Bowl. But Jonah, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
What about a side bet?
Well, I'm not betting. I don't like them. The Packers are the most hated team for me. I'm a Vikings fan. I hate the Packers. All right,
Well, it seems like you hate the Giants even more.
Well, I just hate bad teams. I hate when teams like Houston and the Giants and the Lions are hogging up the playoffs, and there's better teams at home. That just frustrates me. So,
I mean, the Giants have arguably the best offensive player in this game and the best defensive player in this game.
No, you cannot argue that. You cannot argue that there's any player better than Aaron Rodgers in this game. All right, Odell Beckham Jr. is very good. A wide receiver's impact is so minimal compared to a quarterback. Odell Beckham Jr. will touch the ball what, 8 times in this entire game?
Yeah, and he can score on 4 of those 8 times.
Okay. All right. Anyways, Jonah, my hatred for the Giants is growing with every minute.
Alex, it's been a pleasure.
All right, Jonah, thank you so much, and good luck for the Giants, and good luck for your fantasy next year as well.
All right.
Okay, Akiva, so that was Jonah Sobin, who was the Rookie of the Year in my fantasy league this year. Yeah, first-time member, but the best of our 4 newcomers this year. Far and away. Also, we forgot to discuss it when Jonah was on the air, but Jonah sent us an email this week, which I will read because I think it's pretty similar to what a lot of people tell us. He says, I was having dinner with a bunch of guys a couple weeks ago. Most listened to the pod. We were discussing content in general. Lots of people do football. What we like most about your show, we all came to the same conclusion. The tangents about stuff that isn't football. We'll be talking about something that happens in your life, whether it's family or kid-related. It'll be very interesting. Then you cut off by saying no one wants to hear this. We all disagreed, because again, a lot of people talk about football, but not many people share this other side, and it's a side most of your listeners go through as well. Then gave some examples of some things, such as the Truckgate story, for example. So Akiva, Jonah, and some of our other listeners want to hear less football and more miscellaneous shenanigans, which is, I'm sure, something we can provide.
All right, so that ends our week one preview, our wild card preview. We got a 4 terrible games. The first game we don't care about, and the other 3 are going to be blowouts probably. Obviously, we disagree about the 4th one. I will say that I think next week we're going to have 3 good games. The Patriots game will be terrible, but the other 3 games will all be good probably.
Yeah, so, Patriots game hopefully will be like as bad as like the Patriots Tebow game, which was like one of the worst games ever a few years back.
So while I can't promise that this podcast will be better, the games we discuss will be.
Yeah, let us know how you think I did on my own. I imagine it's, like, we should maybe make a Twitter poll. Like, did Kiva do great? Or, like, should we just fire Chester? He was so great.
Yeah. If people want to fire me, I'm more than happy to quit.
We can't quit during the playoffs.
What? If people want to fire me? This is our 99th podcast. 99 and out. I'm done.
I will say Mike and Tommy Snacks was stuck on 99 for, like, a year before they did 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we do that? And then just come back out of nowhere?
Somebody's got to let us know if they have a good idea for what we should do for our 100th podcast.
Yeah, if you have a fun idea, fun guest, anybody, I'm all ears. We don't have any plans for next week, but I'd like, next week's our 100th episode, I'd like to do something cool.
That's enough. That's enough out of you.
Okay. Yeah, so the playoff pools, find the celeb for the playoff pool. Pools. All right, bye.